Oh, what a great morning we've had so far. And do you ever get the sense that, I get the sense this morning that God has set me up. And because the message that I have this morning is episode 7, Shall We Go Back? Learning to Trust the Faithfulness of God. And it's episode 7. And, you know, Nancy shared last week about the wrong direction for the right destination, that God led the Israelites out along a desert road rather than the direct route. And he led them up to the Red Sea, which was like a dead end. And so, you know, the people of God had no option but to trust their living God. But God didn't want to lead them through the direct route because he knew he had to prepare his people and he had to train them. They weren't ready to face everything that he'd got for them. You know, God sometimes needs to prepare and train us for the things that we have to face. You know, he warns us, just as a quick testimony, I know you've mentioned this before, that I suffered cancer in 2014. But back in 1996, I sat in a client meeting where a guy was telling me about him suffering, going through prostate cancer. And I felt Lord prompt me and whisper in my ear, and he said, one day you're going to face that. And you put these thoughts to the back of your mind and you discount them and you say, oh, that'll never happen to me. I didn't plan this bit, actually. But, you know, God warns his people. He prepares his people and he prepared me. And I couldn't shake that. I couldn't shake that thought. But I put it to the back burner and I thought, well, you know, oh, that'll never happen to me. But there we go. God warns his people. And that is just a lovely testimony about Nathan. That isn't that amazing? Isn't that the grace of God? Thank you, Lord, that you look after our kids. Praise God. And I know that their lives are in your hands, and sometimes things don't go the way that we plan. But God is still on the throne. You know, it's important to God how we journey, isn't it? It's important to God. When we go through these tough times, our attitudes are exposed. What's in our heart comes out. And will we trust him for our work, for our homes, for our family, for our health, for our provision? And time again, we find that the Israelites are in that place where they have to trust God. They have no alternative. You know, just before I break in, I better make sure that I'm not going over time. Nancy shared, I love this phrase, God is the master multitasker, isn't he? Oh, I love that phrase. I couldn't, I've got to bring it back in. Because God was doing so many things with the Israelites. They were being chased by the Egyptians, full of fear. God opens up the Red Sea, and for them, it's an escape out. It's the way out into a new life. But I don't think they had any idea that it was also going to be the destruction of their slave drivers. And so God was doing more than one thing at that time. Today, my title is Learning to Trust the Faithfulness of God. And as a shorter title, Trusting God in the Desert Place. Wow, isn't that amazing? God has already lined up the prophetic words that we've had this morning, talking about crisis, talking about how we have to trust him. You know, our passage is taken from Exodus chapters 15 to 17, where the Israelites have passed through the Red Sea. You know, the Israelites went through the Red Sea as slaves on the run from their Egyptian masters. And they come out of the Red Sea as free sons and daughters of the living God. I think there's another reference of baptism. I keep coming across these references to baptism all the time. But there we go. If that's not what happens when we go through the waters of baptism, that as slaves of sin, we come out as free sons and daughters of the living God. But that is only the start of their journey. It's the start. They don't really know the God that they worship. They really do not know this God at all. And they have to go through a journey of getting to know the God who loves them. And I think I just feel like this morning I'm going to be throwing out lots of things. And my prayer is that God will plant seeds in your heart that you think, oh, I'll look at that, I'll look at that, I'll remember that, I'll look at that again. So they enter the desert. Chapter 15 has this wonderful song of praise, amazing song of praise, and we just don't have time to go through it all. But just read it. It is just amazing how they worship God. And Exodus 4:22 says, God calls Israel his firstborn. Firstborn. These people are like a son to God. So this morning, what I'd like to do, firstly, I'd like to look at the Israelites in the desert. And there are three occasions where they go through crisis. Isn't that apt from what we've talked about this morning? And, you know, so they go into the desert, and within 2.5 months, they have 3 points of crisis, and the living God provides. Secondly, I looked at that, and I just could not help but draw comparisons with the life of Jesus. So I'd like to do that quickly. And finally, I'd like to look at what we can learn. So, how are we doing? Great. So firstly, the three occasions where the children of God struggle in their walk with God. The first story is in Exodus 15. They travel into the desert, and for 3 days they can't find any water, and they get into crisis. So let's look at the scriptures for the tape. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. God knew what he was doing. He was taking them to an oasis. But a day or so before they get there, there's crisis. What's the second story? I'm going to fire through these and then come back because of time. Second story. They stay there for 6 weeks and then they set out again. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they'd come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Great. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. And we don't have time to read the whole of this scripture, but this is where God provides food and bread for his people. So God provides manna in the morning and the quail in the evening, but tests their obedience. On the sixth day, he provides enough for them so that he doesn't work on the seventh, and we'll come back to that in a minute. And the third story is Exodus 17. They set out, the whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Wow. You know, these people are saved from slavery, but they still have lessons to learn. You know, when we come to Jesus, you know, it's the start of our life getting to know our God. So this first story, the three occasions where they struggle in their walk with God, they travel into the desert for 3 days and they don't find any water, and but they find it and it's undrinkable. It's bitter. You know, and what does God do? He teaches the people of Israel about himself. He doesn't get angry. He's a loving God that provides. And every time we go through these three occasions, God shows them more of his character so that they can learn about the God that they are worshipping. So if you hear nothing else this morning, please, this is the first thing that God says to his people. And I almost got a sense that I was praying that God was saying, "Look, this is who I am. If you listen carefully to my voice and you do what is right in my eyes, pay attention to my commands and keep my decrees, then," you know, he ends that saying, "for I am the Lord who heals you." You know, if you wanted to communicate something that's really short and sharp and really communicates God's heart, then that is a brilliant start. You know, it sums up so much. Listen to the Lord's voice. You know, God is saying that he's still the same God who delivered them out of Egypt, that did all the plagues. And this whole idea of this little bit of wood that makes the water sweet, is God is showing them that he's the same powerful God that did these miracles using Moses' staff. It's a bit of wood that they throw into the water and it goes sweet. God is a provider. Now, did the Israelites need to moan? They were on their way to an oasis. I don't know. You know, they were a day or so away from 12 springs and 70 palms. And you kind of get the impression, well, I'm not sure. You know, I think God knew what he was doing. He was leading them to a good place. Sometimes there are lessons that we need to learn. I am the God who heals you. You know, the month that I was asked to lead the Healing on the Streets team was the month that I was diagnosed with cancer. Now, you might say that's a bit of a coincidence. I kind of think, well, maybe I had a lesson to learn, and God wanted me to learn something. You know, so when I pray for people, I can know personally that God is the God who heals, and I believe that. I don't, you know, I'm still on that journey, but there we go. The second story that God teaches them about, they have to trust him every day. That's what the manna story is about. God provides food for them every single day. They can't keep it. They have to gather what they need. They can't store it. If they store it for the next day, it goes rotten. But every day, they have to trust God. And you know, so they went out and they saw these flakes on the ground. And I don't know about you, that first thing that went through my mind was like, God provided them Frosties for 40 years. 40 years. I'd have been like, God, can I have some porridge? Or can I have some muesli? Something, you know, but that God, that was an amazing miracle that God provided them that bread for 40 years. And the day that they went into Canaan, 40 years after it started, it stopped. God is an amazing God. And there was always enough. If somebody carried too little, they might collect a lot. But no matter what they collected, it was always enough for whatever they needed. Our God is a God who has enough. But, you know, the Israelites looked at these flakes on the ground and they called it manna, which means, what is it? God, what is it? What have you provided? They didn't recognize the provision of God. And sometimes the provision of God comes to us in ways that we don't recognize. You know, God, if you'd have prayed to God for food, you might have thought, you know, a ready meal lands on the ground, great, you know, chili con carne, or, you know, lasagna. God didn't do that. God provided the ingredients. And it was up to the Israelites to make the meal, to make the bread. I mean, I'd have thought that by the end of 40 years, they'd have every recipe known to man on making bread from flakes and making casseroles from quail. I mean, I think by the time they were got into the promised land, they were ready for something else. But, you know, God is an amazing God that provides. You know, when Margie and I got married, you know, there's a saying, there's always enough, there's always a lot of month at the end of the money. Have you ever heard that phrase? You know, when you get married, you find that there's just, you got too many bills. And Margie was always the one that would pray, and amazingly, we'd see God provide time and time and time again. I know that there are others here who've been in that situation. Now we have enough. I know we have enough. And my prayer is, God, make us a bit more generous. Make us more generous. And so no matter where you are, you might be in a place where there's a lot of month at the end of the money, or you might be in a place where God has blessed you abundantly. There's always something to learn. Just by the way, the manna tasted of wafers made out of honey. And that was to remind the children of Israel that you're going to a promised land that flows with milk and honey. It's a reminder of where they're going. And finally, how are we doing? Great. Finally, in the third story, God provides them water. And you know, what I didn't share was that in that second story, God shows them his glory. The Israelites have to go out and collect the manna, and they look out to the desert and they see a cloud, and God reveals his glory to them. In this final story, God makes Moses and the elders pass before him. He's there. He said, I'll be standing by the rock. You come and over to this rock, strike the rock, and water will flow out. Now, there's a whole other sermon here about Jesus being the rock that was struck for us. And out of the rock of Jesus flows living water. But we don't have time for that one. Maybe another day. But all the way along, we see that God is with his people. Yes. They're nicking my mints over there. So they're taking. You're welcome. You distracted me. Stop it. You know, God is with his people. In all of these three different crises points, God is not fazed. He's there. What we heard this morning about God being on the throne. And he reveals himself to the people. You know, I'm the God who heals you. I'm the God who provides for you. I'm the one that will provide living water for you. So, we've looked at Israelites in the desert. I'd like to just spend 5 minutes looking at Jesus in the desert, because when I looked at these three stories, I was just taken into the Gospels. And in Matthew, verse 3, verse 13, people often said, why did Jesus need to be baptized? Because he was perfect. He'd committed no sin. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? Well, Jesus went through baptism like the Israelites went through the Red Sea. You know, we've heard that in Exodus 4:22, God calls Israel his firstborn. And what happens when Jesus comes out of the water? The Spirit of God lands on him like a dove, and God bellows out, "This is my Son whom I love." You know, this was Jesus rerunning the Exodus. It was an Exodus moment. In Matthew 4, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the desert. Now, I've been to Israel, and I've been to the desert in the Negev. It is not a pleasant place to go. I went there in an air-conditioned car, and stepping out of the car for 5 minutes was unbearable. That's how hot it was. And at the night, the temperatures plunge to minus temperatures. There are plants with spines like needles. You do not want to spend a lot of time in this desert place. And God led his Son into the desert. You know, this amazing story. The children of Israel moaned after 3 days. You know, I mean, I hope I'm not going to get myself into trouble, Lord, here, you know. But they moaned after 3 days, after 2.5 weeks, they moaned twice. Jesus fasted for 40 days. How amazing is Jesus? How amazing is that? I have no idea he could have survived for so long in such an inhospitable place. And in the desert, like the children of Israel, Jesus was tested. The devil comes to Jesus and says, how about turning these stones to bread? And Jesus' response, man cannot live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Where have we heard that before? How amazing. He turns the need for food completely on its head. It's not about the bread. It's all about listening for the voice of God and trusting that God will provide. The second test of Jesus is, you know, the devil takes him up to this pinnacle and says, throw him off. And Jesus responds, do not put the Lord your God to the test. The very thing that Moses rebukes the children of Israel for doing. You can't manipulate God. You can't say to God, God, if you're God, then do this. Or I'll only worship you if you do that or do this. God will not be manipulated. You know, the Israelites questioned, is God really among us or not? How many times had they physically seen him? And finally, after fasting for 40 days, of trusting his father in the desert, Jesus doesn't get wafers and quail. He gets angels who come and minister to him. I'd love to have been there. I wonder what he got for his food and drink. I'd love to have had that. You know, and the angels, they must have parted. Jesus, you've done really well. Your father's really pleased with you. You know, let's have a real meal. Your fasting is over. And when Jesus came out of the desert, it says that the Holy Spirit landed on him at his baptism because it descends like a dove. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But when he comes out of the desert, he's in the power of the Holy Spirit to defeat the works of the devil. You know, and Jesus is our example. He is our example. He's not our exception. He's the one that we followed. He's the one that will lead us into the promised land. He was the rock that was struck for us. So what can we learn? I just want to just focus on three questions. God knows that the Israelites are in the desert. God knows it's a really tough place to be. And you might be in a crisis in some part of your life. It might be at work, at health. But God knows where you are. God knows what you're going through. And he is with you. He's the one that will show you his glory. He's the one that will help provide for you. Thanks, Andy. And it's important that we just trust him. So my first question, what are you focusing on? Do you focus on your need? Your water, your bread, your meat? Or are you focusing on the living God? We need to have an eternal perspective because sometimes we just don't know the answer. We don't know the answer why we go through things. We have to trust him, and we have to trust that he has an eternal perspective. Lift your eyes to him. The second question, are you allowing fear to rule in your life? It's easy to be in a place where these things, crisis points, can overwhelm us. You know, I think I might have mentioned this before, is that part of my treatment, I had a CT scan and they found a shadow on my lung or on one of my ribs. And they couldn't decide whether or not the cancer had spread or sometime in my life I'd broken a rib. Where's Margie? I always blame Margie that she elbowed me in the night. And she's wandered off. Great. I'm safe. And but they couldn't. And for a moment, the fears flood in. And you think, God, is this going to be a bit harder than I expected? But fortunately for me, oh, God, blessing, I must have broken a rib at some point. I don't remember it, but there we go. And but that's all it was. And, you know, we have to not allow fear to rule in our lives. We have to be able to see when the fears try and flood in and rob us of our peace. It might be fear of change, fear of the unknown. We just have to go back to God and say, God, I give this to you. You know, the Israelites, all they could see was their immediate needs. They couldn't actually see necessarily that they were on their way to the promised land. They had to go through this desert. There's no way around it. To get to where they were going, they had to go through it. And God was with them all the way. You know, we're on a journey as a community. We believe that God has a great future for us. But in the process, sometimes it's a bit hard, isn't it? You know, things aren't quite like you like. Nothing is perfect. Well, c'est la vie, to use a French term. That's just the way it is. You know, I wish, you know, if God had provided lasagna and, you know, and you know, a chili for the Israelites in the desert, then I think they'd have had a nice experience. But they had to make their own food. They had to make their own meals. And I think some of them might have been better cooks than others. You know, that's just the way it is. But it wasn't ideal for them, but that was God teaching them. We need to be a people that overcome fear with faith. Now, I'm not standing here saying that nobody can moan and we don't allow grumbles. Oh, by the way, I've missed something that I wanted to do. Andy, if you could just stand up for a second. If you've got any grumbles or moans, can I just refer you to my boss?
And then I'll say, what am I to do with these people?
You can sit down now. But can I say, turn your moaning or groaning, if you feel like that, to faith. There are plenty of places that we've heard this morning where the psalmist cries out to say, God, what are you doing? Why don't you come down? Why not? What's going on? But the psalmist always ends in a place of faith. And that is where we need to be. And lastly, are you allowing your past to govern your future? The Israelites have been in slavery for 430 years. It was all that they knew. And they were allowing their past to cloud where God wanted to take them. So all they could see was the small creature comforts that they had before. And that would drag them back. Because they'd been in slavery, they couldn't give it back to God and say, God, I'm going to move forward with you. And so don't let your past experience cloud where God is taking you for the future. It is a new journey. You know, for us in the hub, we went to see two buildings and a plot of land. God might give us the ingredients for a new building. How that's going to work out, I have no idea. But we will press in because that's what God wants us to do. And we can't go back to north, south, and east. We can't go back. And this is new. It's new for all of us. And if I can just say one last thing, and then I'll pray, that if you're in a crisis point, then go back and read these stories and read about how Jesus handled it, because the desert place was no obstacle for God. It was no obstacle for him. Jesus proved that. He didn't waver from walking into the desert for 40 days. He knew that his God was with him and his God would provide. And the desert, even though it was a pretty nasty place to be, was no obstacle for his God and our God. Thank you. So let me pray. Father, we want to be a people of faith. And Lord, we want to be like Jesus. Lord, will you help us in the parts of our lives where we're struggling? And Lord, I pray that you would lead us as we walk to the promised land. That Father God, you walk with each one of us and you love us and you're a great God. So Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Inspire us to walk in faith in your life, Lord, I pray. Amen.